Good evening, everybody. Today we have a very, very special guest, one of my oldest, not chronologically, but one of my oldest students. We've been together 15 years. Her stage name is Yilin, and she is a specialist and a very, very well-known Brazilian jazz singer. And basically, when she came, I think she needs to tell you where she was when she came, and basically how we started together, because that in itself is a story. So may I introduce Yilin?
Hello.
Hello. All right. Tell the story of how you came to me.
Oh, magic, magic, magic. So I was about 26 years old. I had just graduated with a bachelor's degree in jazz and studio music from the University of Miami, and I had just moved to New York City. And before leaving, had a concert that had been booked in Miami. So basically returned just to do a show. Was in Miami for a couple of days. And a good friend of mine who was a singer and was also at the University of Miami at the time, came to the show. And
she wasn't only a singer, she was also a professor of voice.
Correct. And she was a Brazilian. So she came to my show and we just, you know, were chatting and having a good time. And she said, listen, do you have enough time to come with me to see my voice teacher that I've been telling you about for a while now that I really wanted you to meet? And you know, you're in town, do you have time? And I said, well, my flight is later today, so yeah, I guess I have a couple of hours to spare. So we did. She took me to see you, and it was a little further than I expected, but I was like, all right, you know, we got there, we walk into this house, there's one or two students hanging around, you and the big piano. And she walks in and she says, Miriam, this is the, you know, I wanted you to meet this girl I told you about, she sings Brazilian music. Miriam, you know, Yilin, Miriam, here's, obviously it was Kathleen at the time, but she said, you know, this is Miriam. And it was like, you know, time kind of stood still in that moment because you looked at me and you said, where do I know you from? And I said, well, I don't think we know each other, but it was some sort of a recognition there. And I think I sat in on a lesson or half a lesson. And then you said, hey, you know, do you want to have a lesson? You asked one of your students to give up their lesson. They said, sure. And so we proceeded to have a lesson, and by the end of it, I was crying, but for good reasons. It was an emotional, spiritual experience, you know. I could tell something was truly different about what you were trying to get me to do and what you were teaching, you know, than I had ever experienced. So something definitely struck a nerve with me on a very, very deep spiritual and emotional level. I really felt it in my heart, and I knew that no matter how weird this thing was, whatever it was, you know, weird because no teacher had ever taught me this. It was always some other, I don't know, scales or whatever, you know. But I just knew, I felt internally this was something that I needed to continue doing.
Okay, let me, I want to add to that, that I was actually teaching another student when you came, Irene. And I remember very, very distinctly when you were speaking that you sounded very, very hoarse. And I said to you, do you sound like that all the time? And you said, huh? And I said to Irene, would you give up your time, you know, for this guest? And Irene is such a doll. I can't wait to see her now when I go to Florida. She's such a beautiful musician. So she did. And basically, the singing voice was exactly in the place as the speaking voice. And one of the problematics in your singing was the fact that you were constantly, constantly hoarse.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, so that particular day, as I said, was actually the day after my show. You know, Ariadna had come to my show. And so, yeah, it was the following day. I was leaving town. And as per usual, after doing a 3 or 4 hour set, which is what jazz shows tend to be like, I was hoarse. I mean, by the end of every one of my shows, I mean, you know, it was a miracle if I could sing the following day. I usually could not. I would have to wait 2 or 3 days before I could sing again. I mean, I would be extremely hoarse at the end of a concert. So, yeah, when I came to see you, I was as hoarse as I would have been after any show back then. You know, being 26 years old, right. It was sad to come out of music school and do my shows and not barely be able to get through the end of them, you know.
But what is the problem? What do you think is the difference between what you were taught at the University of Miami and the preparation you got for becoming a professional singer?
Well, unfortunately, I would say that there's always a handful of people out there who have some serious vocal problems, and not a lot of people are equipped to handle that. So I certainly wasn't really getting any technique training. I mean, I was getting a lot of theory and a lot of style as far as jazz is concerned, but I was not getting a lot of technique. And the technique that I was getting, I don't think was geared towards someone who has these type of problems. I mean, my point is, if you are already sort of in place, maybe, you know, whatever little bit of technique that you were getting would have been okay. But I mean, in my case, it just wasn't, there was no way. I mean, I basically could say I was not getting technique training, you know. So
okay, how long did you go to school to get your degree?
Well, I transferred in with a few credits, so I was there 3.5 years, but it's a 4-year program, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so after the reason I'm talking about this is basically that most of my students that come with a degree in performing. You know, they come in from prestigious schools, and basically they have the same problem. I mean, Rachel Pinay, for example, your contemporary more or less, mm-hmm. okay, came from Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
And she came with vocal cord nodules.
Wow.
Okay. And we worked, no operations, of course, to get that out. And we got rid of the nodules without any kind of cortisone, without any intervention, nothing. Here is my question. When you don't use what I have taught you and the way we handle the voice and the thinking as much as the actual work itself, the work being mental, physical, emotional, a conglomeration of basically everything, what happens and what has happened to you?
My old habits come right back, you know, my old tendencies of voice production, you know, over approaching singing, which, you know, for most part is instinctive. It's just kind of something you don't even think about. It's not like you're sitting there saying, okay, now I'm going to, you know, sing from the throat again. No, you just start singing. But if I'm not working continually, you know, the old habits come back. The old stuff comes back. Those old tendencies come back.
And they come back, and why, when you know that, do you let them come back by not paying attention continually the way you're supposed to? I mean, you're a professional singer. It means you sing continually, and then there are little periods where you're not singing. So during the periods where you're actually not performing regularly, is that the time when those lapses happen?
For me, not necessarily. For me, sort of going off track or whatever you want to call it has happened throughout, whether I was singing or not. You know, some phases are longer, some phases are shorter. But, you know, since we started working, I would have to say that no matter where I get to with the voice, once I get off track and stop practicing and whatnot, you know, when the old habits come back, they come back sort of worse and with a vengeance, you know. So it's like now that my voice or my system is aware of the better way, it wants to be there. And it's like it just won't accept the other, you know, so my voice will just shut down. My throat will just shut down.
And that's a good thing.
It is.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing when you then don't have to perform immediately and you can take the track back. The thing is that when you are not in the throat and when you are not manipulating the way you used to, and when you are completely again in the voice where we put it and where it needs to be, how do you feel vocally?
Like smooth sailing, like butter, you know? I mean, you just don't feel anything. I mean, and you're able to sing basically anything. You don't have the issues, no hoarseness, you know, it's like worlds apart.
So what I don't understand is if you know that, why do you let yourself get to the other place?
Yeah, it's hard to explain. I don't know if it's, you know, just me, my particular way
of being. It's not. let me just say to you that it's definitely not.
Yeah. I mean, I think, to me, I consider this to be kind of weird because I personally started off playing instruments from the age of 7. And so I always understood the concept of practicing. I always understood, like, you know, you got to practice every day. It's just what you do. But for some reason with the voice, maybe because I did not start off as a singer, I was not getting voice lessons or whatever. But for some reason, I just never put it in the same category. So on the one hand, there's that. There's this lack of sort of overarching view that, hey, you got to practice every day. It's just what you do. It's just what you got to do. That's kind of not there when it comes to the voice. So that's one thing. But then, you know, I think that ultimately me having analyzed this process now for over 15 years of why do I have my on and off periods, I think that there's something very, very personal, very spiritual, very fundamental to the core of your own being that is scary at times. You know, I feel like you're really sort of accessing your soul in a way. You're like digging into your deepest fears, your deepest insecurities. And I mean, that is what I have analyzed for myself, because absolutely I've asked myself the same question. Why do I not do my practicing sometimes? Why do I go off? This last phase where I went off now for the last couple of years, I think is a little bit different than it has been in the past. But yeah, it has to do with some sort of, you know, being a bratty kid of like, I don't need to practice, you know, but also it's the intimacy of practicing for me is sometimes scary. You know, I'm very judgmental, you know, of myself. I'm very, you know, frustrated easily. If I do something wrong or something's coming out wrong, I just get mad, you know. But I mean, I think there's a lot of reasons. I have to say that this last phase I noticed a change in my voice, a positive change, a monumental change, I have to say, a couple of years ago, where after about 15 years of working together, all of a sudden, my voice sort of went into some new place. And it was like, I was able to sing things I'd never been able to sing before, even when I hadn't practiced. Obviously, I'm not advocating that, but it was just like, I was, you could say, quote unquote, able to get away without practicing and singing stuff that I'd never been able to sing before, you know, and singing with different bands and performing regularly. And I mean, it was just, the voice was there and I'd never had that before. So after 15 years, it was like, congratulations, you earned yourself a new voice. I mean, I'm using those terms, you know, not literally, because obviously it's not a new voice, but the point being, it's just, I was able much more to get away without doing it. That said, my voice was
interesting. The interesting thing is that when you think you can get away with not putting things into the voice, with singing anything and everything that you want, that is precisely the time when you should be working, and you should be working regularly always. But when you get into that psychological state that says, I can do it all, I can do everything, I am sitting on top of the world, and nothing can touch me. Well, when that happens, generally, there is a fall that's coming. And the unfortunate thing is that when you're in that place, you don't realize it. And then you just sort of go on your own merry way and you think that you've got it all under control until the crash comes. You remember, a long time ago when we talked about Whitney Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And when I told you what I believe is going to happen with Whitney Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember how upset I used to get.
Yeah.
Well, I still get upset in exactly the same way when this happens to other students, and when it happens to mine in particular, obviously, even more so. But the thing is that nobody is immune to it. So the fact that you realize that, and the fact that you're aware of what goes on and why it happens, and then you basically pick yourself up at the bootstrings again, and then we start from almost like scratch.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I would like to say that, you know, during the last 2 years when I wasn't really practicing, but I was able to quote unquote sing anything, I want to say that I absolutely was aware that I should be practicing. Now, I would say that I was not aware in a certain way that I am today that we have started doing lessons again, but I certainly was not thinking, hey, I don't need any lessons, I don't need to practice, I'm good to go, I can sing anything. Absolutely not. Because while I was amazed that finally, after, you know, long time of studying, wow, like a massive change had occurred in my voice, I knew the intricacies. I know after 15 years of studying what the difference is between, you know, being able to sing something and being able to sing it effortlessly. I'm aware of that. So that was not, you know, it was always that I was aware that, hey, I should be practicing. Nevertheless, I was in one of those phases that I go through where, you know, I wasn't. I wasn't disciplining myself, et cetera, et cetera. But that said, I knew that I had to come back to studying at some point because I knew my voice could go further. I knew my voice could do better, and I wanted it to do better, and not just to be able to, you know, sing longer without, you know, having any issues or reach a higher note or, you know, but to really take the voice, you know, to the depths and the heights that it's never been able to go before. Because if I was now encountering a new threshold of ability, I knew I could take it further, and I knew by not practicing, I was not reaching my true full potential vocally, and that I would, over time, create some type of harm to myself. Now that we've been working again for about a month or so, you know, I understand what that quote-unquote harm was, you know, because No matter how great you're able to sing, if you're not practicing, if you're not doing this stuff on a daily basis, there are things that your voice is going to quote unquote get away with. There are things that your voice is quote unquote going to forget. And yes, at some point there will be a fall. I am just glad that I finally got to a point of being, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, mature enough or you know, serious enough maybe about what I'm really doing and what I really want to accomplish, to get back out there and knowing that I just, you know, on my own, it's just something I can't do. I mean, there's never been anything like it for me. And it has always, ultimately, when I do the work and consistently and over long periods of time, it's, you know, it's enabled me to truly do anything that I want and truly not have any vocal issues. You know, and as a musician, I want to push myself in every way. And so in order for me to sing the type of things that I want to be able to sing, I need to have the voice there. I need to have the technique there, you know, or else it's not going to happen. And if I want to tour the world, you know, it's not going to happen if I'm not doing this. And I want to say, you know, we started when I was 26. I'm 42 today. And it's typical to think of voices as deteriorating over time. But my voice today sounds better than it ever has. I mean, I routinely have people coming up to me in concerts and just saying crazy things to me. I was singing in a house. A friend of mine had a birthday party a couple of weeks ago, and they just asked me to get on the mic and sing something. So I did. Somebody came running in from the other room and told me later, oh yeah, my wife, she heard you singing and she said, oh my God, that person has a beautiful voice. And she ran into the room. I mean, these kind of things happen all the time. And it's funny because my mom will say to me, hey, aren't you going to put out a new album? Because you know, your voice is going to get worse, or your voice is going to, you know, it's not going to be what it used to be. And I just kind of chuckle internally. And I just said, you know, I just think to myself, just wait until you hear my next album. And you know, you yourself will say that at 40,
which is now being elaborated and is now going to be worked on. There is something that I need you to talk about. I have a way in my teaching where I actually wait for my students to get physically ill. In other words, where under normal circumstances, nobody would open their mouth. They would have absolute vocal rest. They would have a sore throat. They would, you know, stay in bed and completely be voiceless. And I wait for that day in order to teach my students that the voice is there at all times and that you should and you must never cancel because you think you have a cold and the voice is not there. Can you recall something like this?
It just happened to me on Friday. What's that? Three days ago? It's one of the most amazing things, truly. And when I would talk about this kind of 2-year phase that I just went through where I was not practicing, but yet sort of able to sing anything, that was part of the perk. I never had to cancel anything because I was sick. I never had to tell anyone. I was at a 3-hour audition one day, and I had to sing all these pop tunes. And the girl who came in to audition as well, she said, she told the guy, "Well, I'm a little bit sick, so we'll see if I'll be able to sing this song. I don't know." Sort of just, you know, letting people know. And I just thought to myself, okay, that's funny. You know, she ended up not having any problems, but for 2 years, I hadn't had to say that to anyone. It didn't matter if I was sick. I was still able to sing anything and everything that I would have been able to sing when I was not sick. And as a matter of fact, I suppose because this girl said that, at the end of the 3-hour audition, you know, the assistant was sort of coming around, checking with everyone. You know, she checked with the girl. She said, "Are you all right? Can you keep singing? How's your voice doing?" She came to me and she said the same thing. "How's your voice doing?" And I'm thinking to myself, well, I've been here singing for pretty much 3 hours. Not a problem. No, there's nothing to even check with me about. But this past Friday, I was sick. And for the first time in years, I attempted to sing and my voice, my throat started shutting down. And this is what I touched on earlier with the old tendencies and the old habits coming back. You know, now that I have a better way to sing, the old way literally doesn't work. So here I am, excuse me, sick, which I am. I've been sick. I have a sinus infection. So I'm sick and can't breathe properly, really. And for the first time in a long time, I was actually having a problem and it shocked me. It shocked me into a reality check, but I had to tell my musicians, I said, you know, I'm kind of freaking out a little bit now because I'm not used to this. I'm not used to having any issues when I'm sick, but I am sick, you know, and I put my earplugs in. Thankfully, that allowed me to continue the concert, but it was the first time in years that I had felt that way, you know, and that's a whole other ball of wax, which is sort of what you and I were talking about in our lesson that we just had and what's going on now that I'm back working, now that I'm back into the right thing. But yeah, for years, no issues, no canceled concerts, not a problem, you know. I mean, I hate to admit this, but it is the truth. For these past couple of years where I was just able to sing, you know, and not doing my practicing, I wouldn't even warm up. I wouldn't even warm up, not an issue. I mean, the voice was there. Now, I don't advocate
according to what we learn and how we learn is that if your voice is not there in 3 minutes, you don't know what you're doing. So you might just as well not be singing because the voice needs to be there in 3 minutes by just pulling the air in through the final position and stretching the muscles behind the eyeballs. And the minute you're in that place, you have all of the ability of all of the connection with the air. And once you have that connection, the sounds that you're perceiving and the sounds that you're thinking are just simply flying and flowing. Listen, you have a lot of things coming up. Mm-hmm. You have major recording to do. You have an important career in front of you now. The fact that we're working again the way we used to work and it's going very, very quickly back into that place. Mm-hmm. But I think that the important thing is in every phase that we have as professionals is to learn lessons. Mm-hmm. And we have 1 minute, so you can please share the lesson that you've learned.
That there's nothing out there like this work, and it truly leads the way to where any singer wants to be in order to have a career, in order to perform, to record, to tour, whatever it is, if you want to maintain and improve sound technique, I mean, through the years, it's like the opposite. The more you do the work, the more you of a voice you have, the younger you sound, the better you sound. And it's just, you know, if that's what your heart's desire is, then that's the key.
I wish you, as usual, love, the best, and success beyond your wildest dreams. I love you so much.
Love you too. Bye, my dear. So much. Bye-bye.
Bye.